Okay. They wanted a fundraiser in Europe for, oh, sorry, I was supposed to bring it in. And we can't open it to this one. Slowly we'll get there. It's in the thing there. Just, you might not be able to lock it. If you can't lock it, just leave it. Sorry, David. So the Chofetz Chaim, they had this fundraiser. And they were raising money for beds in the hospital. Yeah, I'm referring to the sign outside. It says Atzala Beit Shemesh. I don't know why it doesn't have the Ora Avraham emblem. I'll show you. We live in an upside down world. Chofetz Chaim said we live in an upside down world. So the one guy said he's getting 50 beds. One guy said he's turning in 30 beds, whatever. And I don't know what happened, but somebody started. There was a guy who learned in Koidel sitting there, and somebody started chattering with him, whatever. The Chofetz Chaim got up and he said, leave him alone. You know how many beds he toremed? He said, he toremed? The guy can't even put bread on the table. More toremed. The Chofetz Chaim said, he toremed 1,000 beds. You gave 30, he gave 50. He toremed 1,000 beds. What are you talking about? He said, he's sitting learning Torah. It stops 1,000 people coming to the hospital. There's 1,000 beds you don't need. He toremed 1,000 beds. I told the guy that runs at Soli, he used to learn by us, by the way. I told him, if you stop driving ambulances, come here. We wouldn't need ambulances anymore. The Chofetz Chaim is foolish. We live in an upside down world. We all know emotionally, if two guys come to your door to fundraise, the Rosh Yeshiva or the guy from Atzala, you give Atzala first. Partially, in my own heart, I feel that way. Atzala, God forbid something happens. These guys are mamash. They do unbelievable work. Unbelievable. The man said, many Ora Brahma alumni driving ambulances. There's now Baruch, there's this guy, what's his name, the British guy. Amazing how many of our guys, Uriel Rosen started Hatzal in Johannesburg. I'm sorry, I pushed it off. I've got a call, Ezra, drove out. Thank you. No, why do you have to have then in this generation, why do you have to, no one's saying not. I'm just saying, how do we see it upside down? You have to have a Hatzalah. Torah is also important. No, Torah is anything. You have to have it solid. I don't get it started. Emotionally, check it out. If you only had 10 bucks, who would you give it to? You give it to solid because you know God tripped one day. No, oh, these guys are heroes, not Hasan Khalilah. Well, we forget who the real heroes are. Forget who the real heroes are. We keep forgetting it.
The joke is, help me if I give out a fare. I'm giving now in case I needed it. No. Right? That didn't get it. Much more so the
anyway, no, it's Gewaltig. But we have to remember what we have to remember reality sometimes. We have caught up in the okay. Okay. Perek Hay. We were speaking with that door, Daya, the door that spent 40 years with Hashem in the Midbar, and it was Pashut. Hashem was conducting their lives. They never knew where their Panasa was coming from, and when you read Pasha Samon every day, like it's brought down, it's a good thing to do. That's what we're focusing on. We miss chazaking ourselves, because it comes from Hashem. Hashem teaches us, taught us then, trained us then, so that we should know how to behave today. Today, when we make a shtadlis for panosa, the person has to make a shtadlis for panosa, there's not even a question. We plow in the plowing time, and we sow seeds when it's time to sow seeds. And we harvest when it's time to harvest. We have to keep reminding ourselves. How many times have we said it here? Give me a buck for every time we've said this. So that would be good. Ishtadlis. I could retire. The Ishtadlis doesn't bring the panosa. It's the walking with Hashem b'tmimus. Having betochen in Hashem, Baruch HaGevesh, Yiftach b'Hashem, V'hoi Hashem Yiftachoi, that's what brings the panosa. Anogas nisis v'moif lezush adora midbayen nitzreches b'shaisa ma'oit. That Hanhoga, the way Hashem conducted himself with the Dora Midbar, was very important then. To take Klal Yisrael out of the influence, out of the load of what Mitzrayim was. He had to take them out of, first of all, their dependency on Mitzrayim, but also the world view of the Mitzrayim, which was Koichev Eitzim Yodi, Oysel Yosachai Nazeh. V'yos Knes Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'Zeich Yoysa Ime Ashe Uma, Ashe Tir Chorso, Es Dagla, Al Kvira B'Hashem. The banner that they waved in Mitzrayim was Kvira in Hashem. V'Dagla b'Koichev Eitzim Yodi, Oysel Yosachai Nazeh. Their motto was Koichev Eitzim Yodi, Oysel Yosachai Nazeh. Many Yidden were obviously influenced by that because we influenced by our environment. Also the dependency on the natural way of the world. When Moshe came and told the Yidden, it's time for us to leave. Ka'ava 50% of Klal Yisrael couldn't leave, which we spoke about at length, yeah? Those were the 80% that died in Machas Choshech. Nifla, how do you understand this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechilel Nisim. We're talking about after 8 makas. Makas Choshech was number 9. You've experienced 8 makas leading up to Makas Choshech. Unbelievable. If you go through the makas, I don't know how well you've gone into the makas, but you see each makas is such a gilu of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what its purpose was. When you quoted the Chiddush Rimya once, yeah? To go from Esa Mamoros to Esa Dibros, you need to go through Esa Makos. The Esa Mamoros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with hid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correct? What was in the world before Hashem created the world?
No,
Tovah was part of the creation. Nothing. It's post-Bracious.
We don't know.
There was nothing?
We don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't know. We don't know what there was in the world before Hashem created the world.
It may not have been
only the world.
It wasn't the world.
There was Hashem. There was Ein Oid Milvado. There was Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Ein Sof Baruch Hu. That's what there was. It was Hashem. Correct? And each of the Maamarim hid more and more of Hashem. Because that's what you need. You need an Oilam. In order for us to exist, in order for Hashem to create his world and do what he wants to do, you have to hide Hashem. Because if you don't hide Hashem, there's no room for you and me. Hashem would just reveal himself in full power, you and I would cease to exist. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a space where he hid himself, and he called it an oilam to remind you that he's ne'lam, he's hiding. He's hiding. He's yeah, but you just can't see him, because if you could, that's what Hashem did. It's called a tzimtzum. I'm not going into all the technicalities now. But he hid himself in 10 stages. And Hasinai, he revealed himself back again in those 10 stages. Those are the Esa Mamoros, which are connected to Esa Dibros. How do you unravel the Esa Mamoros that hid Hashem through the 10 Makas? You look at the Makas, they're the exact opposite of the Mamoros in reverse. The first Maima is Anoichi. The last Maka was Bechoinoi, that's the beginning. Second one was what's the second maimer? Vayahior. And so on, the Maharal explains, and the Magoin explains that each of the makas is connected, one of the Mamoros in reverse. Hashem was revealing himself. So after 8 makas, there was an enormous gilu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. They weren't zoichi yet to makas b'chayrus, but said about 8 makas up to then. You still don't believe in Hashem. You're still not ready to like, okay, Hashem, I get it. The mitzvah see that this is Hashem. Hashem promised him, I'm taking care of Israel. I'm going to look after you, I'm going to take care of you. They couldn't leave. Imagine sitting in Auschwitz and Hashem makes 8 makas for you. Yeah? And you see the Nazis, you know, going through what they're meant to, the suffering or whatever. And Hashem comes and says, come, we're going out of Auschwitz now. And you say, no, I'm staying. That's what happened. We don't get it. What happened there? Why a Karasha? Get the kashas. There's a local van. To understand this, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened to me. That's the Machabit talking. After we went through the Holocaust, I spoke to my mother often about that tekufa that we went through. She was in Auschwitz. He never got to Auschwitz. They managed to hide away and escape. Listen to this question. You have to be a Jew who went through the Holocaust to have this question. You don't get the question even, but it's an interesting question. Whose situation was worse? His mother was in a labor camp. She eventually hid away from the Nazis in Auschwitz. Interesting story. We, him and his father and his brothers, they dressed up as goyim, they disguised themselves as goyim, and they went and they hid out in basements and mamash homeless. Homeless people living like you see homeless people. They never know where they're going to sleep tonight, never go where they eat tonight, and also terrified that they would get caught. We spoke. He spoke about dealing with his father every morning. Whatever, old story. Okay. They kept changing where their place was. Whatever, they couldn't stay anywhere for too long. It's much like mice, like little mice running around, living in holes. Despite that, we can't even begin to understand the suffering and the torment and the torture that those in the camps went through. They had a structured kind of an existence. At night, they came back, they went to work, they came back, they got their little piece of dry, wormy bread. There was somebody running their lives for them. Somebody counted them, beat them, humiliated them. I love a soft soft. Hayomishu shechashavalem. There was someone thinking about them, counting them, writing their names down, watching them. They're not saying it was good. We just want to know what's worse. We lived in total void. We didn't know what was going to be in 1 second. You wake up in the morning, you don't know where to go. You got 18 hours to kill. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And he says, they want to hang out. What are you going to eat? Where are you going to eat? How are you going to survive? Nobody cares about you. Mama's like a mouse. No one even would spit on you. That's how insignificant you were. Nothing to learn, nothing. You're alone. Unbelievable feeling of just like lost. Also not great. None of these situations are great. But what's worse? That was they were talking to his mother about what's worse. We had it worse. Understanding this question, you can understand a little bit about the dependency that the Jews had on Mitzrayim. They had some dependency on their tormentors. Somebody gave them a bit of food. Amnam lechem oini. It was lechem oini. Achayaze b'kol zoit lechem. They had what to eat. Liparet b'kol zoit. So the tzeit lemid balalo kol tachnit. Give that up. At least you have something. Yeah, at least you have. You have three meals a day. Now you want me to go into the midbar? You know what the midbar is? You ever gone traipsing around the Gobi Desert on your skateboard? You're not going to live too long. Not much way of surviving in a desert, unless you're a bushman or a Bedouin. They know how to somehow survive, but we weren't trained that way. Give that all up and go into the midbar. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. You don't know you're going to survive. You know. It's a much higher level. There's many ways of understanding what happened to the 80%. Again, this is one small pinprick of an understanding. He himself gave a whole different shot earlier. Very few people are prepared to let go of the branch that you're holding on to. And Hashem says, let go, I'll catch you. And you look down and you see a 2,000 meter precipice. Hashem says, let go, I'll catch you. You ready to let go? Everyone's being asked that question today. Are you ready to let go or not? Forty years in the midbar, you got taught a very important lesson after lesson after lesson in the Mun and B'tochen. Perek shalene lags over the shana b'kol yom. You have to go over it and remember it and work on it every day. Kedei ledat shelo yishtane ma'uma b'ikvois ma'aseinu. What you do makes no difference whatsoever klape your panosa. Gam kashe anachnu mishtadlim b'inyona panosa. Yishtadis einu mo'ila ela muchreches. Yishtadis doesn't help. Not for panos, it helps for other things that we've spoken about here many times. Aval, it doesn't help for panosa, but you have a chiyuv to do it. It's imperative. You have to do it. For many reasons, we've studied many of them here, and we'll see more as we go along. Your panosa is in Hashem's hand, like the mon. I'm going to bring you a shmois with Rashi, please. Gam. By the word of Hashem you go, by the word of Hashem you camp, nothing else other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what we rely on. And if you think it doesn't apply today, let's learn a little Rashi, if it hasn't been censored out already. Could be this Rashi that taken out. It's not a popular Rashi in the world today. After this, you couldn't find one that has more than three psukim on a package.
That's what you want.
No, I just wanted Rashi. You couldn't. Just wanted Rashi. Thank you. It's after Kriyas Yam Suf. Oh, sorry. Where's the my wife? One second. I should make you find this.
Tell me where it is. I'll find it.
Find me Bishalach, where he tells Aaron to put the mon into the Senate and put it in the Aaron. Yeah.
80% of the year, and all those matters for the year, everything going to them, believe it. What can still happen?
Excellent question. Excellent question. Good. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. That's why we're learning this. Because we want to see how we can go about not making the same mistake they made. The Doivei Seichem. The Doivei Seichem. What?
They didn't have this
to
learn.
They had a Gilu Shkina. They had a Shem. They were eating Mon. And they saw the Makkas. And they saw Kiyas Yam Suf. We it's not them and us. We're taking phase one that we had in Mitzrayim and we're rebuilding it in our phase two. We're in phase two, remember? It says Mitzrayim was phase one, Midbar was phase two, page three.
Page one should be easier than
the map part of us.
Page three is always harder than page
one. Right. So page one should
we're in phase two.
Out. I know. It should be easier for them to come out to strengthen the question.
Ah, the structure of why they never came out. You understand? It's a big
catastrophe.
It's beyond cognition. It's too recent.
But it's called the Bomber. Come out of phase one. How do we get out of phase two?
Come on. It's after Chris Yamsen.
No, but before the part someone after.
No, it's right at the end of Parsha Samad.
That's what you want?
Yeah. After Parsha Samad, he tells Aaron to take the...
I thought it was after or before.
The Yema Moshe Aaron kach tzintzenes achas. We're learning Parsha Samad, yeah? Take a little jar. Beten shama malo ime min ha-mon. V'hanach v'yisoy lifnei Hashem lishmeres delor seichem. Take a bit of the mon, put it in a little jar. And put it lifnei Hashem means in the Aron HaKodesh, the Doire Seichem, for the generations. Says Rashi, what's the generations?
Oh, it's two Doire Seichem.
Yeah. Says Rashi, you know what Doire Seichem is? Listen to Aron HaKodesh, Rashi. B'mei Yirmiyahu, in the times of Yirmiyahu, Kesheimamu Mochichim, Yirmiyahu was going around and telling people, the Beit HaMikdash is about to be destroyed, Rabbi Isa. Lama ein atem oiskim b'toira. Why aren't you expecting Torah? What are you doing? The Beis HaMikdash is about to be destroyed, and you're frivoling around your time on who knows what. Why aren't you oisek b'toira? I told you this Rashi is not a popular Rashi. I thought it would have been censored out already, but it seems that it Art Scroll still put it in. Okay. And they say to Yirmiyahu Novi, all very well, you know what's going on in the heavens, but you don't understand how things work down here, do you? Now, Nech Melachtem and Isaac B'Torah, leave alone our work and go be Isaac in Torah, Mahechen is Fanes. How are we going to have Fanosa? It's a familiar question, no? We ask ourselves that question every day. Leave my Melachtem and go learn Torah, what am I going to have Fanosa from? So what does Yirmiyahu do? He goes off to the Beis HaMikdash. He takes out the little tzintzenet of mom that Aaron put there in the Aron HaKodesh. And he says, Ru, have a look. Bezen isparso avoseichem. But this year, your ancestors were fed. Ha b'shluchim yesh loy lemakum lahachin mozen lereyov. Hashem has many ways to provide panos of food for those that fear him. Now, if I was there, I'm going to say this. I heard this from one of my Rosh Yeshivas. He said like this. The Rosh Yeshiva of Midrash Shmuel of Moskowitz, Starkin Gesundzain, said, I'll say, if I was there, I would have said to Yirmiyahu Anobi. This year was called My Dear Jeremiah. If I was there, I would have said, my dear Jeremiah, where did you get that jar of man from? You have to go all the way to the Beis HaMikdash, open up the Aron HaKodesh and take out the Tzenet man, right? You know why? Because there's no man falling today. Have you noticed? There's no man falling today. If you go to the Makolet and you take a loaf of bread, somehow you have to pay. You know, there's this thing, there's this kupai, there's a thing called the cash register. You somehow have to negotiate with them before you leave with the bread. You can't go 1 second. Let's learn a Rashi. I don't understand Rashi. I'm learning Rashi now, not Besarabi. You have to negotiate with the guy who owns the Makolet before he lets you leave. You have to come to an agreement how much you're giving him, so he'll give you the bread. And if you don't pay, he doesn't let you take the bread. So how do I get money? So it was said, Hati Shnadlis. That's what I would have said to Yirmiyahu. What's the answer? The words in Russia we never understood. The Mechilta, if you want to know where this is from, where Rashi got this from. You're right, there's no mon falling today. Not the way it was then. But Hashem has many ways to provide panasa for those that fear him. You have to make ishtadlis. Don't make any mistake about that. This doesn't potter you from ishtadlis. You have to make ishtadlis, each person according to how much, depending on all the criteria that we've built here, and you have to ask your shilas and whatever. About panasa? He doesn't need your help. On Rosh Hashanah, he works out how much he's going to give you, and there's nothing you can do about changing that. Nothing, well, except for one small thing. Chofetz Chaim says, the more you give away, the more he has to give you. That's not our subject, Achshav. That's a Moedik Arash. How did we get to be able to even stomach that and live with that through 2,000 years of Golus? Because we went through Mitzrayim. And that message and that lesson got ingrained into ourselves. And that's how Gideon have been able to do it. The world impacts us and affects us, and it's a struggle and a battle, because if it wasn't, you wouldn't have Bechira. How did the Gideon in the Midbar still have Bechira when it was so posh? Okay, Hashem balances things. The Yetzer Sahara must have been enormous. We don't understand the enormity of their Yetzer Sahara. With such a Gilu Hashem, in order to maintain Bechira, can you imagine what the Yetzer Sahara look like? But that's the vault. Moedika Maisa, this. I love this Maisa. I tell it to my kids and it irritates them. You can use this as well with my permission. If it irritates your kids, please use it. Or anyone else you want to irritate for that matter. Oh, we have to stop now. All right, we have to wait till tomorrow. You didn't get the Rashi? That Rashi, you need to go spend a lot of time on that. What don't you understand?